Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 from All Podcasts.
So now it's that time in the show, ladies and gentlemen, with a very special guest. Please welcome lifelong Middlesbrough fan. It is Jeff Winter.
Hello.
Hiya, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good, good. So, yeah, last time we spoke, you were doing a lot of charity events and after-dinner speaking and such, and of course your website. Are you still doing all those things?
Yes, I'm still here, there and everywhere with the speaking and hosting events and very much enjoying it. Other than that, still get into most, virtually every Middlesbrough game and a lot of Rangers games, a few Hartlepool games thrown in, and that doesn't leave much time for anything else other than me grandkids.
I was going to say, are you busier now than when you were a referee?
Yeah, busy doing what I want to do when I want to do it, so it's not a bad life.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, check out your website occasionally. You update that constantly. Do you want to give that a quick plug?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing the articles I used to do as often, but I put a piece onto my website at every Borough home game, which is a copy of the article that I write for the Borough Matchday programme. But mainly the website is there for people to get hold of me for speaking events and purchase copies of my autobiography.
Yeah.
So it's still there and it's still active.
Yeah, yeah. So as you said, we get on to the Borough and obviously the big news with Karanka leaving in the week. Was it the right time, the right decision, do you think?
I think it was the right decision. Whether it's the right time, only time will tell. There's only sort of, 10 games left now, and really, we do have not only the best chairman, but also the most loyal chairman in football, Steve Gibson. I think fans of many other clubs always say, I wish he was our chairman. Mm. He's a local lad, made good, and, loves the club and tries to do what's best for the club. Some might say, I mean, Karanka is he's just a strange, strange person. He divided the fans, even up to the end when, we weren't scoring goals, we weren't playing attacking football. Still many of the fans swore by him. But eventually, something had to change. Karanka is son of Mourinho, best mates with Mourinho, and you can't you tell it, he's stubborn, he's arrogant, his way or no way. He has his players and, no matter what the crowd are saying, what anybody's saying, he's stuck to his guns. Now, that's admirable if you're a Mourinho and if you've got, the top best players, then you can stick to a rigid formation. As you move down from your Chelsea's and Manchester United, sadly, Borough haven't got players of that calibre. And, he's insisted from the outset to play one man up front, even in the Championship. And, he took over the club when we were near the bottom of the Championships, thanks to the disastrous reign of Gordon Strachan. And if you look at the facts, he got us up into the Premier League with some excellent cup runs. But, his style of football was never, ever good to watch. We crawled over the line in getting promotion from the Championship when really, with the players that Steve Gibson had provided him with, we should have romped the league. And it's been frustrating this season because, any football fan, and especially a Borough fan, we don't mind getting beat. We've had a lifetime of watching our team get beat.
Yeah.
But going down fighting is what it's all about. And if you can go on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday, whenever it is, and watch your team give everything they've got and lose 3-2, to a better team.
Yeah,
you can handle that. But, we were playing teams in the Championship last year, Charlton, Rotherham, and struggling to break them down and score. So we always knew, even with the better players that were brought in this season, that it would be difficult. But, parting of ways has come, and, you know, the first game after he goes, it resulted in defeat at home to Manchester United. Mm. But, you know, Steve Agnew took over the reins and made substitutions earlier, threw attackers on. We ended up with two centre-forwards on, which is something that very, very rarely would ever happen in Karanka's day. And, you know, there was a lot more optimism that the players, even after a 3-1 home defeat, were applauded off the pitch by the home fans. And only time will tell whether Steve Agnew, he's obviously very popular with the players, whether he can lift the confidence, get that. We've got a week coming up where we've got Swansea away, Hull away and Burnley at home. And, you know, that week has got to be a minimum 7, more likely 9 points. Yeah. Now, stranger things have happened, but when you look at the league table at the moment, you would say the bottom three look like they're the ones that have been cast adrift. But there's always a twist to the tale, and being a Borough fan, you've always got to hope and believe it's going to be you.
Yeah. Quickly about Karanka, when do you think, I mean, you say there's always divided the fans, but did it start turning a bit more negative towards him after that Charlton, before the Charlton game last season?
Well, it's very, very strange, you know. Had it have been maybe an English manager or a former player or something, I mean, we've had some phenomenal servants of Middlesbrough Football Club that have gone on to manage them. You know, down the years, we had Bobby Murdoch, we've had, you know, Willie Madron, we've had Gareth Southgate, Tony Mowbray, people who were legends at the football club, and when the results and performances started going, the fans turned against them. Karanka, he's led a little bit of a charmed life in some respects, because after the defeat at Rotherham, when he walked out, you know, that would and perhaps could and should have been the end of it.
Yeah.
We lost at Charlton on the Sunday in an abysmal performance. And I think that the players just didn't know where they were, what was happening, what was going on. And then the following Friday night, and this is how football sometimes, you know, works in your favour, for the last 20 minutes of a vital game at home to Hull City, there was only ever going to be one winner. Hull were the better team, creating the chances, and then I think we got it was about a 92nd, 93rd minute header from David Nugent. We won 1-0, he came into the press conference strutting around like he was, you know, king of the castle, all down to him.
Yeah.
And after that, we got a little bit of momentum and we crawled over the line, you know, again in the final game of the season. We only had a draw against Brighton. We are drawing, they're down to 10 men, and we ended up with his style of football hanging on. You know, so we crawled over it, and some might say he could have gone after the Charlton game or after the Rotherham game last season, last March. In January, he just started doing some absolutely bizarre things. Apart from not changing formation and sticking with certain players and, you know, pushing out, he's got this habit of, you know, Jordan Rhodes had a horrendous time at Middlesbrough, the man who could score goals.
Yeah.
He was never given a look in, and he's had similar fallouts with Stuart Downing. There's other players at the club, James Husband, an excellent left back that's never got a look in, and that just seemed to be his way. But then in January, he turned on the fans when all the fans were doing in a game where, you know, we needed to score late on in the game, and the fans started singing attack, 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 attack.
Yeah.
And he took that as a criticism, you know, that the fans wanted long ball and he didn't play long ball, when it wasn't the fans saying they wanted long ball, they just wanted the team moving forward, creating chances and getting some shots on target, because this season everybody knows the lowest goal scorers in the entire 4 divisions, in fact the entire 5 top divisions in English professional football, lowest shots on target in the Premiership, you know, 20 goals we've now scored, 19 under his tenure. So, you know, having a go at the fans is not a good move.
Mm-hmm.
in the same month, he had a go at the club's recruitment policy, saying that they hadn't signed the players he wanted. And, you know, Steve Gibson shelled out best part of £15 million on Gested and Bamford. And then he called them players who couldn't even get a game in the Championship. So you think, well, how did he motivate a dressing room when he's making statements like that? And then a couple of weeks ago, after a very poor performance, he criticised the club's medical side for, you know, not giving him the full information about one of our injured players. So it was almost very much like Mourinho, who only ever last said he were 3 years maximum. It just seemed as if he wanted to fight the world. And, you know, I think the departure, which the club are very nicely saying, wasn't a sacking. They've parted on good terms for the mutual benefit of all concerned. And he's gone. History, you know, and now Middlesbrough have got a 10-game season where they've got to win more games in the final 10 games than they've managed in the previous 28. So, you know, it's never been, football sometimes been dull, but it's never been dull being a Borough fan during Karanka's time. And, for me, he had too many Mourinho characteristics, which is perhaps understandable if you've worked closely with the man and under the man, and they're still big friends. I mean, Mourinho, after the Manchester United game, couldn't help but, beating his drum about how good Karanka was. Unfortunately, it's like with most managers, they usually, despite whatever glory, you know, Arsene Wenger being a perfect example, you always tend, usually, to leave under a little bit of a cloud, no matter how much success you've had.
Yeah.
And sadly for Karanka, his rebuilding, his redesigning of the club, you know, the training, the medical side and everything that I'm told he was really, really strong on detail with, that will be forgotten by many if Borough get relegated. You know, because it was his dogmatic approach to not playing attacking football and not trying to score goals, you know. 0-0 was a perfect result for Karanka, and if we got one on the break, that was even better. And it's just amazing that, you know, Middlesbrough sell out for all their away tickets games. You know, we always take the maximum number of tickets available. You know, we've had evening kickoffs and lunchtime kickoffs with 500, 600 mile round trips, and Middlesbrough still had 2,000-3,000 fans there, you know, whatever, whenever the game was played, and the Riverside is now virtually full on every home game, and they've stood by him and they've stood by the club. The big worry is obviously if the club are relegated, it is, with the greatest respect to the Barnsleys and Prestons or even next season possibly Fleetwoods of this world, it doesn't have the same attraction as having City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, you know, at the Riverside. So, you know, all the good work of the 7 years that we were out of the Premiership could be somewhat, you know, wasted if you get relegated and don't come straight back again. So I think everybody will have mixed blessings. There are still some people who were sad to see him go. There was an increasing number who had got round to the state of thinking not only should he go, but perhaps he should have gone at least a couple of months ago.
Yeah, yeah. And what about in the future now, the players? I mean, obviously, whoever they bring in, they're going to need a leader and a motivator on the touchlines, but have they got enough players with them traits to get them out of this?
Well, the club, and I think this was one of the problems, the club had adopted sort of almost the European style where the club purchased the players and the coaches. The coach obviously has an input. He's asked who he wants and draws up a list, and then the club go out. Now, you know, we all want Messi and Suarez and Neymar. It's a little bit unrealistic to think that, you know, they're going to come to Cardiff City, Middlesbrough, Doncaster Rovers. You know, we've got to be realistic. But, you know, Steve Gibson has given the man man everything that he wanted, that if, you know, with him being realistic. He spent money, he's brought players in that are players that can play for the club, you know, if and as and when managers, coaches, etc. change. And, you know, this is where Karanka has sort of, I don't think Tret's Steve Gibson very, very well, in the sense that, you know, the money that was paid for Rhodes, the money that was paid for Downing, you know, and even recently, I don't know what's gone wrong really with Bamford. He wanted the player, maybe not his number one choice, but he got on well with him, worked with him, and ever since he's come, he's become the new Jordan Rhodes and hasn't had a look. He has, though, brought a lot of foreign players to the club, and in some cases more or less resurrected their careers. So the likes of Victor Valdez and Ramirez, you would imagine, should be very, very loyal to him. And that, you know, there are various other Uruguayans, Stuani, Barragan, and, you know, and a few more players that he has brought to the club, and are his men. Now, when the manager leaves, there's always the question as to, you know, are those players still going to want to be here when he's moved on? I think what is the overriding factor, though, and it's money-related, is obviously which league Middlesbrough are going to be playing in next season. And sadly, if they get relegated, then probably our prize asset and, you know, one of our best players, but also Middlesbrough born and bred, you know, he bleeds Middlesbrough Football Club, he's the chairman's nephew, Ben Gibson, you know, I think he's going to go to a top six club,
yeah,
without shadow of doubt. He's only relatively young, but he looks, you know, when you think John Stones 50 million, and I do like John Stones, then Ben Gibson this season has made nowhere near as many mistakes as John Stones. So, sadly, you know, the players of that sort of ability will be picked up by other clubs. Whether Victor Valdez wants to stay, whether a few of the others,
yeah,
want to stay, only time will tell. But the club does have a good nucleus of players that have performed to a high level in the Championship, and I feel could do it again. But let's address that problem come next, you know, come the back end of May, June and July and August, and yeah, let's just hope for a miracle, because if Steve Agnew, who is an excellent coach, is liked and respected by the players, if he can get a tune out of them, and we can make, you know, the bigger escape, then obviously it's not a worry next season of which players are going. It's a case of keeping the best ones and spending a little bit more money so that, you know, hopefully, like, you don't want to be a Sunderland who every year is in the, you know, relegation scrap and, yeah, hanging on and hanging on. You want to be slowly moving away and establishing yourself in the Premier League, like Middlesbrough did for many a long year, you know, when we won the Carling Cup and played in Europe on two occasions. But like I say, only time will tell. My personal feeling is the change should have been made a little bit earlier,
yeah,
because with a more attacking, adventurous approach, games, you know, you don't really expect to beat the top six. Anything you get from them is a bonus. But, you know, we've had games recently when, you know, we've played West Ham at home and away to Stoke and away to Palace. And games that, you know, if you're going to stay in the division, you should be getting points from. Sadly, those games have gone now and, you know, we're never going to get that opportunity again in those matches.
Yeah. And what about the main man then? I mean, obviously, Steve Agnew's got the baton. Do you think he can pick it up and run with it? I mean, Redknapp, Hiddink linked with it. Is there a fan's favourite at all, ready?
I think some of the names you see bandied about are ridiculous. And, you know, Ravanelli wants to be the manager of Middlesbrough, yeah, evidently. Well, we might as well just resign from the Premier League now and not bother going through the next 10 matches. You know, up. I don't honestly know. I mean, Harry, I work with Harry on the after dinner speaking circuit, and I honestly believe that was his, where his future lay. I don't really see him coming back in, so watch this space. He'll probably be in a week's time. But when you look about there, and again, it's a bit like when you talk about players, there are managers who, you know, I like David Wagner at Huddersfield. But, you know, if you're making an appointment this week, next week, the week after, someone like him, he's not going to jump ship, or you wouldn't imagine he's going to jump ship from a club that could well be in the Premier League next season and Middlesbrough in the Championship. And if you were going for certain big names, like if you wanted to improve your squad, players and managers want to know where they're going to be operating. Now, until the club made it clear that Steve Agnew was going to be given his chance, you think, well, go for somebody that has got experience, put them on a massive bonus, give them a job till the end of the season, put them on a massive bonus if they keep them up, keep us up. And, you know, that might have been an idea, but, I mean, some of the names, like, with the greatest respect, Claudio Ranieri, I think, despite the abysmal way many people feel his tenure at Leicester came to an end, it was apparent, and it is apparent with the way Leicester are playing for Craig Shakespeare, that something had gone wrong. Well, you know, if you've got a manager that can no longer command the respect of the dressing room, we've had one of them, possibly, with Karanka. So, you know, in going for someone similar, it's out of the frying pan into the fire. We've got a manager there now, or a chief coach, who knows the club, knows the players inside out. If a new manager came in, it's going to take him a few weeks to get to know the players. I think we've got to trust Steve Agnew. He's got games coming up that are winnable. Yeah. And, you know, it's as he said in his press conference after the Manchester United game, the players just need that first win. And when the first one comes, the confidence goes through the roof. You see light at the end of the tunnel, and stranger things have happened. It would be dead easy to say the bottom three are going down, and the league table does suggest that is what's going to happen. But there's always somebody that falls and plummets, and there's always somebody that does come, as Sunderland have done for numerous years. Yeah. Just all of a sudden, you know, we've got Arsenal at home, and you'd say, oh, well, that's a game we're going to get nothing out of. But, you know, the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, and if their top four chances have gone, by the time we go to Chelsea, Chelsea have already won the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's two or three games from the end of the season. Likewise, we go to Liverpool on the final day, and if Liverpool can't make the top four, you know, are ensconced in fifth or sixth place, then those three games, you can make a case for, well, they're not all the definite defeats that you would have imagined. And apart from that, you know, we've got Southampton at home, Arsenal at home, and then that big, big week where Swansea away, Hull away, and Burnley at home in the space of 8 days. And then, of course, we've got what is probably the biggest match of the season in the North East in Premiership football, which could by the time it's played, be a dead rubber.
Yeah.
We've got Sunderland at home, and Sunderland got Newcastle relegated last season by beating them. And, I think they beat Everton. That was right. They beat Everton at home.
Yeah.
And that result defeated Newcastle. So I think that would really be the sickener for the Borough if it was the Sunderland game that we actually, you know, we went down with them, so to speak. But hope springs eternal, and every football fan's the same. You always, you look at the league table and you dream, and the day you stop dreaming, you stop being a football fan. Yeah. So, at least now with Steve Agnew, you know, if the Manchester United performance can be replicated, if the player with that passion, that drive, and, you know, trying to beat the opposition, trying to score all the time, which to me is what football's all about, then yes, we've got a squeak. You know, we're not dead in the water. The way Karanka was playing the game, you just didn't have the confidence that, you know, we were ever gonna score a goal, let alone win a match.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Nice, Jeff, thank you very much for coming on and speaking to us.
Not a problem. Anytime.
There we are, and fingers crossed for the Barra for the rest of the season, mate.
Cheers, mate.
There we are. Don't have it.